beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Holy Spirit, we ask that you grant us revelation, teach us today, and help us pray in Jesus' name. If you are driven by men, you will not be able to raise an army. Over the years, the church ministry has been so men-driven that unknown to us is no longer God-driven. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's affecting us a great deal, because instead of us raising an army, we are raising a chunk of not just civilians, but babies. Are we together? If it's our even raising civilians, it's good. Are you getting me? But if we're raising civilians that are men and women, you know, in those days, in battle, when it's time for battle, what they do, even in recent times, when it's time for war, the president of the country, the king, we call all able-bodied men that are ready to join the army. Are you getting me? That can fight. They are not soldiers before, but they are men. They can fight. So he tells them, all right, come and join the army so we can what? Increase our numeric strength and we can fight. It used to happen in ancient battle times, and it's still happening till date. In fact, I saw online a particular grandfather and grandmother that are going to battle. Israel soldiers. Grandfather and grandmother are going to battle. I get what I'm saying? Those ones by now, that if the man was a military man before, by now he's supposed to be retired, is that not so? But he still wants to go to battle. So even civilians are engrafted into the military when the battle becomes serious. In fact, some of them start going on defense line to be able to defend the nation when the battle becomes serious. Are we together? Now, so if it's that the church is even raising civilians, it's good. But nobody engraft a baby into military. In an African nation, I can't remember the African nation, at a point in time, they started having children soldiers. Remember, they had children soldiers. They were engrafting children into the military. Very dangerous thing, because it traumatizes the children for life. Their mind will be messed up for life. Imagine children at the age of 10, at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, already learned how to use the AK-47, and they are beginning to take blood at that age. Now, their life is all messed up. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so if it's that we are raising adult civilians, it's fine. Even if that we are raising children civilians, it's a little better. But the challenge is that we are even raising baby civilians. Can a baby fight war? So what is up against us and what we are up against is not what babies can handle. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this has actually affected the church a great deal. As a result of that, it has reduced our ability to mount pressure on the gates of hell. Jesus was speaking, he said, the church is mounting on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when we hear the gates of hell, all of us always think of hell coming to fight us. Are you getting what I'm saying? It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against. That means hell is coming to fight us. But no, we must understand, what is a gate used for? What do you use a gate for? You use a gate to defend yourself, is that not so? To prevent what? Attack. Is that not so? Why will you put gates in our houses? so that at least the thieves resist a barrier before they can come in. Are we together? That's the purpose of gates. And even when you go to warfare, you discover that the nations, the two people that are fighting, they have temporary gates. You see them, they put wooden, you know, wooden stuffs like that to prevent, the wooden stuffs have sharp edges and they hide behind the wooden stuffs so as to prevent enemy from just jumping. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so gates are used for defense, not for attack. So the hellfire is actually on the defensive, not on the attack. We, the church, we are the ones on the attack. But we don't know. And the Bible says, a man being in honor and knoweth not is like a beast that what? That perisheth. So if you are in honor and you don't know, you are a beast, you are like an animal that has died. And that's what is like happening to the church. We are the ones meant to be on the attack. And hell is meant to be on the defense. But it's so pathetic that now we are the ones on the defense. And hell is the one attacking. See, let me tell you something. The devil is excited with the ignorant Christians. When he sees ignorant Christians, he's very excited. Why? Because he can make a mess of their mind. When he knows you are ignorant, all he does is that he becomes illegal in his operation. The devil is the father of illegality. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you are like your father, the devil, for he was lying from the beginning. Now you get what I'm saying? Lie is what? Illegality. Is that not so? The devil is the father of illegality. And the devil operates in illegality once he knows that we do not know our legal rights. Are you getting me? Once he knows that we don't know our legal rights, he operates in illegality. He begins to take illegal steps against us. Hell is not meant to attack. Hell is meant to defend. But when the attacker does not attack, what will the defender do? The defender is left to what? To attack. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the church is meant to be attacking, but rather than attacking, we are defending. Are you getting me? See, this Christianity that makes us go to church and come back home is not the attack Christianity. No, 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 no. That's not the attacking Christianity. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting me? This Christianity that makes us go to church on Sunday, come back home. Go to church on Wednesday, come back home. Now, some of us, because we want Christians to be activity conscious, we have service every day of the week. Ah, bother, what is the matter? Every day of the week, they come to church, yet they cannot attack the devil. Every day they come to church, yet they cannot attack the gates of hell. Have they not been coming to church every day? Monday, women's prayer. Tuesday, men's prayer. Wednesday, youth prayer. Thursday, prayer, general prayer meeting. Friday, Bible study. Or Tuesday, Bible study. And Friday is another meeting. Saturday, specialized prayer meeting. Sunday, worship service. After all of this, they cannot attack here. It makes us understand something, that though we are bringing them to church, we are not bringing them to God. And our job is not to bring them to church, our job is to bring them to God. And once they are not in God, they cannot attack hell. They can't attack. They can't attack. I get what I'm saying? They can't attack. We are not defensive Christians. We are attacking Christians. Any football team, any team that plays defensive match, what happens to that team? In a football match, any team that plays defensive match throughout, what happens to that team? It will lose. It will lose. The starting match is playing defensive. Halftime is playing defensive. In second half is playing defensive. If they have not scored in 80 minutes, in 89 minutes, the opponent will score. Why? Because after a while, their defense will get weak. And why does it look like the church is not mounting up in strength? Because instead of us to be on the attack, we are being on the defensive. And it has become more dangerous with the kind of Christianity that we have been taught over the years. What is called the give me Christianity. God, give me house. God, give me car. God, give me wife. God, give me children. God, give me money. And on Sunday, we come and shout, God, give me house. God, give me car. God, give me wife. God, give me children. God, give me money. On Monday, the same thing. On Tuesday, the same thing. And this, what is the purpose of this kind of gimme, gimme? You see, the gimme, gimme Christianity makes us more weak instead of making us strong. One of the secrets to strength is actually deprivation. Yeah. When you cannot deprive a child at all, you cannot make the child strong. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes when it looks like God is depriving us for some things that we think we need, it's not because he wants us to be, he doesn't love us. It's actually because he wants us to be strong. And we have to be strong to go and attack. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have to be strong to go and attack. So over the years, our gimme Christianity, our gather them for activity Christianity, has rather weakened our attacking mentality than strengthened it. It has made us more on the defensive. All we do is ask from God. We never ask God what he wants us to do for him. Lord, what will you have me do for you? It's not in our prayers. But all we pray for is, God, give me something. Lord, try for me. God, I've come. You see, some of us even feel that we are doing God a privilege by coming to fellowship with the fellow brethren. Say, God, I have come. God, I have come today. I have come to church. God, you know that it's not easy to come to church. Lord, you know, I tried. See, I left my busy schedule to come to church. So, Lord, see, you have to give me something. You have to give me something for coming to church. The Bible speaking, Jesus was talking about the servant who went and he did the job that his master told him to do. And he said, when he finished doing the job, he told the master, I said, I am an unworthy servant. I have done what is my responsibility. That's the ideology of what? Of the attacking church. That this thing is our responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? God does not owe us anything in return for what we do for him. In fact, we actually owe God our life. Why am I preaching? Because this is my little way of paying my debt back. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are in the 40 days period of Jesus. We just did this start on Resurrection on Sunday. Now, this is the 40 days period where Jesus walked the face of the earth. Are we together? Before he ascended. 40 days period. And in this 40 days period, he still spent time with the disciples, still teaching them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Because what he taught them before he died was just an ignition. What he taught them after resurrection was the full thing. It was a full load. And it was that full load that Peter caught that made him tarry in Jerusalem. Are we together? So actually, God does not owe us anything. He will never owe us anything. He paid the debt we could not pay. So how does God owe us? In fact, let me put it this way. God has already rewarded us by salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. He that must come to God must believe that he is. And it's in the word of them that diligently seek him. So some of us come and say, God, I've been diligently seeking you all my years. Lord, reward me. Let me tell you one question. If you were not saved, do you be able to see God? Lord, reward my labor. Lord, I've been able. If you were not saved, do you be able to labor? We can labor for God today because he saved us. If he did not save us, who would have been? There's no way we would have been able to know that there's something called laboring for the Lord. Would have been on the track list of hell. Straight to hell. So the greatest reward that God will ever give us, and God has ever given us, is even salvation. Oh. So when he says the reward of them that diligently seek him, my brothers, my sisters, when we seek him, we should be thankful that we are saved. If we're not saved, we seek. Yes, he will still reward our labor. Yes, in eternity and even in time now. Yes, there are rewards. But see, we don't serve God. We don't give ourselves to soul winning, to evangelism, to the cry for revival, because we're expecting God to reward us for laboring for him. If he did not labor for us, if he did not save us, we wouldn't even have a right to even say, Lord, reward me. Salvation is the greatest reward that God can ever give to man. The greatest reward. The greatest reward. That's why it's called so great a salvation. So great a salvation. So if you understand how great this salvation is, then it will not be an issue at all for us to go all out crying for souls to be. It will be our only cry for destinies to be changed for Jesus. It will be our only cry for revival to hit the nations of the earth. Why? Because God has already rewarded us with salvation. With salvation. And you know what? Romans 5 verse 8, I can never forget. God commended his love towards us. In that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. The reward that
God would have given us from our sin, would have been eternal damnation. But God rather chose to give us the reward of salvation for the sin we sinned. Are you getting what I'm saying? In other words, God did not reward us according to our works. He didn't reward us according to our life. He rewarded us according to His love. That's the reason why. You see, that's the reason why when you are telling God reward me, don't tell God, God reward me with car. No, reward me with husband. No, reward me with car, with house. You know, reward me with this, reward me with this. You don't tell God to reward you. God does not reward us according to our works. Are you getting what I'm saying? He doesn't reward us according to our deeds. He rewards us according to His love. God commended His love towards us. In that, while we're yesterday, it was clearly said that that's why Paul said, while we're yesterday. Now, if God wanted to reward us, if God wanted to reward us as sinners, the reward would have been hellfire straight. According to our works, it should have been hellfire. But God chose not to reward us according to our works. He chose to reward us according to His love. The way He rewarded us according to His love over 2,000 years ago is the same way He will reward us according to His love as we keep working for Him. It will not change. It won't change. Is somebody understanding me? Are you understanding me? You see, as I was coming, you know, there's a message that I was supposed to have preached here for like 3 weeks or 2 weeks ago, and I've not been able to preach it. As I was coming, the Holy Spirit was dropping something in my spirit, and I began to look at it, and I've opened it in my Bible, and I'm trusting God will still go there. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the Lord is taking us in this direction. What years ago, when the Lord used me to, you know, pay for the rent we paid for the church in the venue for church in Accra, and I told them, I said, do you think I can be homeless in Ghana? Because I knew some people in the church wanted to see me homeless. I said, God has used me to pay the rent for this place. He cannot make me homeless. And after that, I was like, God, reward me for this work I've done. This is the kind of reward I want. This kind of reward I want. I always thought that when you work for God, when you do God's work, are you getting what I'm saying? You can be able to tell God, this is how you reward me. This is how you do. Are you understand what I'm saying? And many of us have been taught that kind of thing. God, I have given 1 naira for one CD. One CD, I've given one CD. Lord, reward me with 10 CDs. Lord, I have evangelized. Lord, reward me with this reward. No, you see, and those are beautiful ideas. But you see, God, before time began, and before we're saved, God rewarded us according to His love. Now that we are saved, God will still continuously reward us according to His love. So let me tell you, when we cry for revival, we are simply crying as people who have already been rewarded. Not as people that are looking for reward. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are crying for revival as people who have already been rewarded by the Lord. And that is by His love. Not like people that are looking for God to reward them. This God reward me mentality, as though God is owing us something, it has messed up our mind. And that's why you see that Christians are only just what? Seeker sensitive. They are not God sensitive. You get what I'm saying? That's why I'm not driven by men. I'm driven by God. That's why one person come and preach, I will pray. Two people come and preach, I will pray. I was talking to a pastor, and I told her she told me to preach in a revival meeting for her, and I preached, and she was so happy, and she was like, I wish there were more people. I said, see, the people that were meant to be blessed are the ones that came. See, I've done this business for years. Leave this matter. I have done it. If we are preached to empty chair, where we not sit to people, we will not be happy. Madam,
you
we are preached to empty chair. Empty chair. When we see two people, when we will see one, we'll be jubilating. So you now say with your crowd, because you are not coming in numbers, I will not preach. You're wasting your time, sir. If you like, it's only one person that come here and preach and go. Because God has trained me with empty chair. He has trained me with empty chair. Many years ago, I was in my 20s. Where God was training me with empty chair? Yes! In my 20s. 27, 28. Where God was training me with empty chair? Yesterday, I just clocked 41. So it's not today. It's not yesterday training. I've seen no manner. God has trained me with empty chair. He has trained me with preaching to only my family and preaching it to telephone and uploading it online. For how many years? 3 years I'm preaching on podcast. Nobody asked me, what are you doing? Four years, people are telling me, man, you know the grace of God upon your life. Man of God told me, say, man of God, you are blessed too. So he said, I say, I'm not telling you because I'm with you. He said, you are blessed too. Man of God, I can't explain, you are blessed too. He said, when I listen to your teachings, you go from Old Testament to New Testament to Old Testament, you are connected here, connected here. He said, I want to take time to listen to these teachings. Now I said, you know the grace of God upon your life. Man of God, you cannot, the grace of your life, eh? See, you don't understand, the grace of your life. God has trained me with all manner. Then I now see one person, I said, I'm not preaching. And he said, you have to gather crowd first. Or some people will not say they will not come. If you don't come, man of God will not preach. What's your problem? Empty chair, we have done it. To my family alone, I've done it. To big crowd, yes. To empty chair, I preach to big crowd. I preach to empty chair. I preach to small crowd. So there's no crowd that is too big or too small for me to preach to. It's an understanding that our reward, it's not what we are looking for God. It's what God has already given us. He gave us the reward according to his love. And all we do is to keep paying that debt we owe God. Are you understand what I'm saying? When you hear me talk, it looks like it's only preachers that are owing the debt. No, every born again child of God is owing the debt. See, as a businesswoman, yes, which you are. Are you getting what I'm saying? As you begin to do what I instructed you to do, it will be an opportunity for you to preach to people. Let it be that as you are rendering service to them, their lives are getting blessed. You begin to pray into your hands and say, God, these hands, any head it goes on, let that head be born again. You don't understand what I'm saying? What are we talking about here? The revival is not about opening your mouth and preaching alone. It's about every aspect of you. God, as a contractor, every contract I bid for, as I go to the company, let the CEO see me, and as I'm talking to him, let it be born again. What are we talking about, sir? Why? Because this is a debt we owe to God, and we have to pay. We have to pay. God rewarded us according to his love. God keeps rewarding us according to his love. We have no right to tell God how to reward us. God reward me with husband. Because God, I've been keeping myself. If you do not know Jesus, will you keep yourself? Is it not that your family? That your family that we know? That all the ladies, before they clock a particular age, they don't even know their body count again. And you, because of Jesus, you kept yourself. You now say, Lord, because I kept myself, you have to reward me with a tall, dark, and handsome husband who is walking in the soul. You are mad, sir. You are mad, madam. You are mad. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You have mental problem. We have to treat your mental problem. If you don't know Jesus, will you keep yourself? If I deceive you that kept yourself, is it not Jesus that kept you? And then you are not describing to God the kind of man that God must give you to reward you because you have been. How did we get here? Say, God, because I've been serving you for 50 years, because I've served you for so years, this is the kind of house you will give to me. House. If you didn't know Jesus, will you be able to serve Jesus? So the cry for an awakening in the church. You see, people say the church does not need revival. It needs awakening. The church does not need revival. It's what let me tell you one truth. This church we are seeing today, we need revival. We have slept like no man's business. We need to wake up. Who taught us all these things? We are owing God, but we are the ones saying God is owing us. That's the church we have today. Is it a lie? That's the church of Jesus we have today. We are the ones owing God our life, but we are saying God is owing us. Because all these kind of prayers we pray, is it not the prayer that shows that we are saying God is owing us? Give me a house. Give me a car. Give me a wife. Give me children. Give me a house. Give me a wife. What are those kind of prayers? Come to church today and they say, let us pray for the salvation of soul. You say, everybody. They cannot pray again. Their voice is zero. When they say, let us pray
for the Lord to give you your desired husband. Hey!
The sisters, they will lose.
Their voice will go wild. Is that serious? And now I saw online that sisters now come. They carry wedding gown and come and pray for husband.
Yes. Single sisters.
They carry wedding gown. There's a prayer meeting. They carry wedding gown. They wear wedding. The church, I don't know who does this. Ah! No wonder Paul told Galatians, say, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Permit me to say, oh church, who has bewitched you? Single sisters, we carry wedding gown to come. When I told my mom, I said, let them keep praying. I said, what is all this? Let them come and carry wedding gown and come and pray for husband. Pray for husband. Pray for husband. Pray for us, man. I told them years ago. I said, then I was trekking and doing evangelism with the young men I was training. As I was trekking, I told them, I said, see, this one I'm trekking on that is hot too. But I said, the day God knows that this son is becoming too hot for me, he will give me a car. Man of God, I never prayed for a car. Now, people were doing driver's license as means of identification. I said, no. Driver's license is not means of ID. It's not an identification card. For me, it's not an ID. I said, my driver's license will come after I have gotten my car. You know what? I got my car. I went to get my driver's license. I get what I'm saying? And then I saw that people were doing international passport as means of identification. We're doing international passport, means of identification. It's good to have an international passport. I get what I'm saying. But for that time, I said, no, for me, international passport is not means of identification. International passport is to travel. So when I'm ready to travel, when God knows I'm ready to travel, are you getting me? I'll get international passport. One day, I was in the market with my sister-in-law. As we're together in the market, I saw a plane flying. And I told her, I pointed at the plane, I told her, this year, I will enter this thing. I was just speaking, man of God. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just speaking. All the things I was saying, I was just saying them. You know what? My first entrance into a plane was not local flight. It was not local flight. It was international flight. And 2 weeks to when I had to fly, I got my passport. So as I said, the passport was not what? ID card for me. Are you getting me? It was needed to travel. And not just local travel. It was an international travel that was my first flight. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are we together? Why? Because I understood that when it is God, when God knows that I have to do this thing, he makes it up. But I knew that these things are not prayer points. Are you getting me? How can we come to church and people say you are coming to church and say those who are expecting visa are still on this time? Collect and ready for me. Have we told Jesus to travel agent? You want visa? Go to travel agent. Have we told Jesus to travel agent? Oh, please. Come and receive anointing for visa. Come and collect grace to travel. Ah, Jesus. Our Lord Jesus. We turn into travel agent. To visa agent. How did we get here? Miracle baby service. Ah, Jesus has not turned to fertility hospital. Our Lord Jesus is not a fertility hospital. Miracle baby service. All manner of services. And all these services are just making us more what? More down. And we are refusing to be on the attack. I get what I'm saying? All of these services are making us more defensive in Christianity. More defensive. And nobody cares about what? Souls anymore. Because everybody cares about himself. This kind of meeting now, we'll not see people come. If I say, come and collect visa, I'm not there for visa. This place will not be enough. Will it be enough? Visa anointing. Will this place be enough? Even people that have never gotten passport, they will come. They will come for visa. If I say, come for miracle husband service. If this faith be enough, I do not be enough. We have converted Jesus to meet our specific individual needs. But we have refused to know who he is. Jesus is not a fertility hospital. Jesus is not a visa agent. Jesus is not a matchmaker. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus is not any of those things. Jesus is our Lord. He is the Father's reward for us that we don't deserve. Are you getting what I'm saying? He is the Father's reward to us. That reward we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. Are you getting me? We don't deserve it. But the Father rewarded us with salvation. Why? Why? That should be the question we should be having every day. Every day in our mind, that should be the question. Lord, Abba Father, we don't deserve salvation. But you rewarded us with salvation. Why? Our reward was meant to be eternal damnation. Our reward was meant to be hellfire. Why will you choose to reward us with salvation? And that question, if it dwells in our heart, it will make us love the Father more. When we wake up every morning, we seek to win more souls to Christ. I don't deserve salvation. I was a sinner on my way to hell. And the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. It's death. It's death. It's death. It's not life. It's not life. The wages of sin is death. Was death. Madam, the reward for your sin was death. Man of God, the reward for your sin was death. So, God's reward system for us was meant to be death. But why will God choose to rather remove death and give me life? It is called love. Bible says, greater love and no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He said, even for a righteous man, we no one die. I had that. Even for a righteous man, we no one die. But he saw a sinner like me, and he died for me. The only reward that God gave me, and will ever give me, and will ever give the church, is his love. God has rewarded us. We are the ones that owe God. If you realize that his love is a reward that you can never pay back, we need crying for souls to be won, crying for the nations to come to Christ, crying for revival, crying for the gospel of Christ to heal the nations of the earth. Will never be too much for you to do. I woke up this morning and I was tired. Because last week was hectic, very hectic. Last Monday, man, my body. My wife was laughing. Say, you were saying you close. You so close. I know I've worked. Monday, I went again. Tuesday, I've been preaching every day. Tuesday, I've been preparing, teaching. I woke up, I was tired. 4 a.m., my alarm. I was tired. 4:30, I was still resting. And then I stood up and said, necessity is laid on me. Sir, you cannot pay me for preaching. Man, you cannot pay me. Nobody can pay me for preaching. No man. Why? Because I don't preach for need. I preach for necessity. I don't preach because I need something in my pocket. No, I preach because to pay the debt I owe to God. The reward for my sin was death. But God, in his love, rather chose to give me life. The reward for your sin was what? Death. But God rather chose to give you life. What other reward are you looking for, sir? Now, see, you know the nonsense that's happening in church? We use reward system to get people to church. Imagine, come to church. And if you come to church, God will give you a... Hey! Is God a building contractor? Come to church, God will give you wife. Is God a matchmaker? Come to church, God will give you baby. Is God a fertility hospital? Come to church, God will give you visa. Is God a visa agent? Come to church and all your problems will be solved. Is God a problem solver? Actually, we are the ones who solve problems. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has given us the wisdom to solve problems. Are you getting me? God is bigger than everything we have defined him as. I know our definition of God, man's definition of God, is the greatest limitation we can place on God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody once said, religion is man's way of looking for God. Yeah. You heard of the word religion, is that not so? And there are different religions on the earth. Religion is man's way of looking for God. And you know what? Man can never find God. Man can never find God. Why? It's only the creator that can find the creature. Sir, if this your shoe gets lost, can the shoe find you? Thank you. If your phone gets lost, can the phone find you? Thank God there isn't iPhone. There's something in iPhone called Find My Phone. You know that, is that not so? Exactly. So if his phone got lost now, what will he do? He will activate Find My Phone. And the phone will start, it will start beeping wherever it is. If it's around him, he can easily locate. If it's not around him, he can track it down. You are the one that can find the thing you created. The thing you created cannot find you. Religion is the phone trying to look for the creator. The creator of iPhone is Apple. His iPhone. We know what religion is. This phone is trying to look for Apple. Is it possible? No, it's not possible. But relationship is God's way of what? Finding man. When God created Adam, he created Adam for relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why some people say Christianity, they have different views about Christianity. But for me, I don't have a problem with the name Christian. Why? Because the word Christian, it was the people in Antioch that first called the first followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ, the first church. They called them Christianos. That's the Greek word Christian, which means follower of Christ. And is that a bad name? Even if they say some people believe that they were mocking them with that name, some people believe, all you can believe, I don't care. But if somebody calls me a follower of Christ, it's a good name. Are you getting me? Now, so, we practicing being followers of Christ is a good identity for us. And I like that identity. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this thing did not just come by being followers of Christ. It came by a relationship that God desired. The Father needed a relationship with Adam. Adam lost it. And he finally sealed that relationship with his son, Jesus. So, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship between God and man. It's not a religion. It's a relationship between God and man. And for any relationship to succeed, both parties need to understand themselves. Is that not so? And understand the terms of the relationship. You can see people that can be in a relationship for 10 years. And after 10 years, they tell you they divorce. Or in fact, some 30 years. After 30 years, they say they divorce. Why? They say we are no longer compatible. No, it's not that they are no longer compatible. It's because they no longer understood themselves again. And you know, in every relationship, you will keep changing. Both of you will keep changing. And so that means both of you need to keep what? Understanding yourselves. So Christianity is the relationship between God and man, and God, his glory is ever on the increase. That's why man has to ever what? Keep growing in the revelation of God's glory. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, as we beheld in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. And the Bible says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So it must be a progressive growth in knowledge. And you get what I'm saying? Progressive growth. So the day we stop growing in our knowledge of God, the day we stop growing in the understanding of the knowledge in the revelation of God's glory, what happens is that we start becoming incompatible with God. And I'll tell the truth. A long time ago, church stopped growing. Many Christians stopped growing. Are you getting me? And when you are trying to grow them, they fight you. We stopped growing a long time ago. We stop growing. And that's why the glory of God that is ever. The Bible said the 24 elders, the cherubim and seraphim, they bow before God, say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why? Why do they do that? They just bow down now and said, holy, holy. When they lift up their head, they see a new level of his holiness. Are you getting me? And they say, wow, this holiness is too much. And they bow down, holy, holy is the Lord God. They lift up their head again, another level again of holiness. So they have to keep shouting holy, because the holy, holy, holy is ever increasing. That's why we must be ever increasing in our relationship with the Lord. If you are not increasing in knowledge of God, you become incompatible with God. And that's what I'm telling you today, that the reward that God has for us is the reward he gave to us over 2,000 years ago, sending his son Jesus. That reward is based on his love. And that reward, it can never be exhausted. Christ is our reward. God told Abraham, he told him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So, those of us who are looking for God to reward us, you get what I'm saying? Understand something, that there is no reward that God will give you that is up to him. So God's reward system is himself. And that's his love. That's his reward system, is himself. So he told Abraham that, and we 21st century Christians are still looking for God to give us car as he wants. God, I'm going to evangelize. As I'm evangelizing, Lord, give me car. Lord, I'm going, is that not what they are doing in church? You cannot bring them to church, even Christians, without a reward system. Are you getting me? If you're not going to promise them something that God will do for them, they will not come to church. Will they come, man? Will they come? See, come and serve God, though. If you serve God, that husband you're looking for, God will give you. How did we get here, sir? Come and serve God, though. You may not know. I used to preach it before. See, I'm pastor, so don't think I don't know this. There's nothing you want to do that I've not seen. You may not know. The wife you're looking for, she may just be sitting next to you in church. So come to church. Who reduced us to this level? You may not know the job you are looking for. That job, the employer of labor may just be the person by your side in church. Come to church. So if I cannot get a job, I will not come to church. Man of God. If I cannot get husband, I will not come to church. If I cannot get wife, no church. If I cannot get children, no church. If I cannot get house, no church. If I cannot get money, no church. If I cannot get car, no church. What am I doing? Do I know what I'm doing? Who took us to this level, sir? Who has bewitched us? Who has bewitched us? We are looking for rewards when we already have the reward. Abraham was before the Old Testament. And God told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Abraham said, thank you. Then you need to know something, that Abraham had wealth before God told him that. But Abraham knew that there was something bigger than wealth. Ayatakat. There was something bigger than wealth. So when God told him, I am that reward, he said, thank you, Lord. See, we have looked for wealth. We have looked for things. And we have not looked into the reward. God, his love is our reward. When that understanding dawns on us, nobody will tell us to cry for something. Nobody will tell us to cry for the nation. See, do you know what's happening in the world? Do you know what's happening in the world? On the 31st of March was Easter Dizanos. So Easter Dizanos. And President Biden came out. And instead of him saying, Happy Easter Day, he said, Happy Transgender Day. Our Easter happened to now fall on the day they celebrate their transgender day. You know, transgenders. No transgender. Those people that change themselves from male to female. And from female to male. They are transgender. So instead of president to come out and say, Happy Easter Day, he came out and said, Happy Transgender Day. And the number one transgender in America, the number one man, the first person who was the first thing to do transgender, the number one, it was a man, he turned to a woman. He changed himself to a woman. He came out and insulted President Biden. He said, you are a Catholic. Don't you know that today you are supposed to be saying Happy Easter Day? And you are opening your mouth and he is a transgender. But see, you don't understand what I'm saying here, sir. You don't understand. Even the devil knows that you should give God his place. And what are we doing? Even the devil knows that he respects Jesus.
Of that transgender came out and told, instructed by me, saying, you are a Catholic. Don't think that today you are supposed to be saying happy Easter day.
Why will you be saying happy transgender day? By that, the man is supposed to be happy, is that also? But no, he was not happy. Say, you are a Catholic. You know what you are meant to do. That's the kind of world we are living in now. Wake up, 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 wake up. We fought the battle here, LGBTQ, is that also? We fought it. You think that battle is over? You think it's over?
It's one government that will soon finish. Is that also? This government has tried their best.
They will come again. The devil does not give up. He comes again. You think it's over? And we tell you to pray for revival. We tell you to pray for salvation. You pass. We are still looking for house, car, husband, wife. Get house, get car.
And your child will come back one day and tell you, mommy, I'm feeling like a girl, so I'm no longer a girl. I'm no longer a boy. From now henceforth, call me a girl. And you look at your child and say, what do you mean? You say, mommy, that's what I mean. You almost start running mad. We are sitting there. This is the same way America folded your hand.
Oh. This is a demonic interference in the destinies of men. This America folded their hands. And the Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sold what? Hers. These are the church in America began. When revival began, in Azusa, revival, different, you read them, different revivals. And it was a call to holiness. It was a call to purity. And that was what brought about revival in America. Oh, John Wesley. Moody. Oh, every of them, they were doing great work there. They were doing great work for the Lord. But the revival brought about an economic boom. And the economic boom brought about lazy Christians.
We have not seen revival yet in Africa. And we are becoming lazy.
Lazy Christians are Christians that don't realize that God is their reward. And they're looking for another reward.
Ah.
They don't realize that God's law, God himself is our reward. Whereas they're looking for another reward. If our Christians are started designing a reward system for God for us, so this is the way God rewards you. Now, if you win souls, this is the way God rewards you. If you are looking for husband, if you win soul, God will give you husband. Hey, who told us that? Okay, if you win soul, if you are looking for job, God will give you job. Is that not what we are doing in church, man of God? Is that not what we are preaching? Is that not what we are preaching? Is that not what you are hearing in church? So we have not designed God's reward system for ourselves and left God's reward system for him. Say, God, keep your reward system. We don't want your reward. Let us design for ourselves. And God looks and says, which kind of people are these? I have told them I am their reward. I have told them my love is their reward. But they say, no, they don't want my love. They want things. The Bible says, Paul was speaking and he said, they began to have inordinate desires for themselves. And God led them to reprobate spirits. Men desire one another. Women desire each other. And God led them to what? To reprobate spirits. We are seeing today, it's not new, it's old. Are you getting what I'm saying? But it all came because the church began to slack. We began to slack. We began to sleep. We began to slumber. Awake thou that sleepeth. Awake thou that sleepeth. Awake. God is our reward. His love is our reward. Nothing can reward us. We owe him our life. We are not looking for a reward from God. We have already been rewarded by God. In fact, we are the ones that now. If you are praying for salvation of soul, now you are not praying for salvation because you need God to give you. God give me business. Sister, sorry, it's because of business you are coming to church. No, you're in the wrong place. So if you because of husband, wrong place. We come to church here because we are coming to pay the debt we owe to God.
He has rewarded us already. We are the ones that owe him now.
See, man of God, we have to start preaching. We have to start preaching. As I feel like God, God did not allow church ministry.
Because would have not been able to preach like this. Me, I don't see people following me on Facebook. I don't see, even on my Instagram. Yesterday, I preached on Telegram. It was my auntie that joined.
On Telegram, people don't join me on Telegram. So I can release it in full cylinder. Full cylinder. Don't you look at this. Full cylinder. Fire you. I fire it. I'm not preaching for men. I don't have followers. My wife and my kids are the ones following me. And they're enjoying it as hard as it is. So I'm giving it hard.
So we have to wake up. The devil is destroying destinies.
We already have it. It's already coming here. And we are falling off our hands. Our sin doing nonsense because of Christianity. Give me car, give me house, give me house, give me car. The devil will allow us to pursue mammon and then exchange it with nonsense. Our children will start, their lives will start getting messed up. Society will start getting messed up. Our society validates, degrading, is deteriorating. And we are falling our hands. Our shouting Christianity. When we come to church, we come and sing, we go back home, and that's the end of our Christ.
Society cannot feel the impact of our Jesus, then we're not carrying the correct Jesus.
No. If our society cannot feel the impact of Jesus,
we say we are carrying. We are not carrying the correct Jesus. Because after all, we say, Bible says, how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. And God was with him. He went about doing what?
And God was with him.
If the society cannot feel the impact of the Jesus we say we have, it's not the correct Jesus. But how did we tolerate here? Because we did not understand that God has already rewarded us.
He is our reward. His love is our reward.
So we are not doing anything to get God to reward us. We are actually doing everything to do what?
To repay God, which we cannot. For his reward.
That's why Jesus said it. The servant said, when the servant finishes his job, what does he tell his master?
He said, Master, I have done all that you told me to do. I'm an unworthy servant, and I have done my responsibility.
See, as children of God, we are to have that mentality that, see, we are unworthy servants, and we have done what we are meant to do.
Hey,
serve the Lord Christ. Buy that, get that book. I don't know. I think all the copies have been given out now. Tell you bye-bye. That book, when I thought that thing,
oh my God.
I'm only doing my responsibility, yes, sir. Because a servant has no right over his life. Are you getting what I'm saying?
You don't have right over life. But you know the kind of Christianity we have to be. Christians that want to be sons and never want to be servants.
We want to be sons, but we don't want to be what?
But for us to operate in the Godhead perfect, we must be sons. And servants.
Sons give us our rights. Servanthood give us our responsibility.
And an irresponsible son is a non-entity.
And that's why today we have more non-entities in church than entities. I will say a heir. So long as he remains a child, he's not different from a what?
Servant. He's kept under tutors and governors until the time appointed.
I get what I'm saying? We have become born again, but we have responsibility.
Paul said, he said, what am I
if I preach not the gospel? Necessity is laid on me. What am I if I do not preach the gospel? Who am I?
My brothers, God is our reward. His love is our reward. We are the ones that have to repay. And as we cry for revival, it's our way of repaying. If that's what we do for the rest of our life, it's not even enough. Our minds have been reoriented.
We are going to be asking the Lord the grace to serve you with the understanding of servants, that this is my responsibility. The cry for souls, for my nation not to destroy my time, for my society not to be lost in my time,
That is the cry of servants. It's my responsibility. Lord, let that cry never go down in me. Let that desire somebody talking to the Lord this morning.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I'd love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-154-55-12013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-254-551-2017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria. Account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.